Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
We'll turn to golf now, and once again, John Rahm is the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open champion. A brilliant round yesterday of 62 meant he blitzed the field, blitzed everyone around him, and won his second Irish Open in just 3 years. And as has been the case over the last couple of years as well, he charmed everybody. Here's a sense of John Rahm in his press conference afterwards.
You've beaten the best of Europe. You beat the best of Europe at Portsmouth 2 years ago. You came with a fast charge last year. You nearly won again at Ballyliffin. Would you like to see the best of the Americans coming over here and competing in the Irish Open, and you can beat them here again?
I mean, I would like to see it. I believe I can do it. No, I don't really know what to say. Yeah, I mean, it would be amazing to see some of the best players in the world come over and play, because they really are missing some of the best golf courses I've ever played in my life. I always say Porch Tour, the front nine is arguably the most beautiful front nine I've ever played. And I can honestly say on all the golf courses I've played in the world, this is probably one of the best I've played. Some people might say some of the holes are quirky. I just decided to say it's different. It's unique. It's traditional. And you need to play really good golf to shoot low around here. I mean, we got lucky it wasn't windy. If it was windy, we would have seen a test of golf, because none of those shots are easy. It's a great golf course. It's a great tournament. It's a great host country, and you know, they're missing out a lot. They would have a lot of fun here.
Just one follow-up, if you wouldn't mind, for me. Seve's on that twice.
Three times.
So that must be a target for you. And Spanish names are dotted all over that. But would it be nice to come back? You said you told us you were going to come back and defend after you won at Portsmouth. You came back to Ballyliffin. Probably early to give a commitment, but all being well, will we see you here back next year going for number three?
Do I even need to respond to this question?
No, just nice guy.
I can't say again how much I like the country of Ireland. I mean, yeah, you'll see me here, and hopefully I get my third one and tie Seve. I mean, that's my goal from now on, coming to this event. Hopefully I can get to as many as Seve.
And tournament host Paul McGinley has joined us. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Very good. He'd be very welcome back anytime. What a great winner.
Yeah, I know. What a great winner is right, I guess. You know, if you're not going to have an Irish winner, the highest ranked player in the field gives a lot of validation to the setup as well as the golf course. And that's what John brought.
Yeah, good courses tend to find good winners, don't they? And he addressed even the quirkiness of the course there, and he doesn't see it that way. So it's a validation for the whole thing. Where are you at the moment? Are you still down there?
No, I'm back in the UK. I left this morning. I'm back in the UK. I got a busy week. Got a number of things going on this week. It's all 100 mile an hour, right in the middle of my busy period in my work schedule.
How has the week just been gone for you?
Oh, I mean, Joe, it's just been phenomenal. To be honest, it's absolutely off the charts how well it's gone. It couldn't have gone any better, really. I mean, I can't think of anything that you could say, yes, I wish that was better. I mean, the weather was great, the course was great, the condition. And the big thing was the embracement of the Irish public, and particularly around the whole idea of a festival. And they really did. They partied. There was thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people that came every day. We'd sell out crowds and the streets at night, you know, you'd 2,000 or 3,000 on Main Street, up to 1-2 o'clock in the morning. You'd 4,000 or 5,000 down the promenade at the, you know, where we had a bit of music going on, and also the fireworks display on the Saturday night. And everybody was in good form. Everybody enjoyed it. They came and with the right spirit. And, you know, there wasn't one report of any incident to the Gardaí. I mean, the Gardaí were just like, this is the easiest job they've ever done. Mm. What more can you say about the Irish public than that?
I think, in fairness to you, you sowed that seed very well. You told people what this was going to be, and Irish people understand, okay, a festival vibe, I get that. We like our festivals. There are great festivals in that part of the world. And it had that atmosphere from Pro-Am Day. People bought into that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I believe. I believe the Irish Open, Dubai Duty Free Irish Open, as it's called, should be a festival every year, you know, and we should bring it around the country. We should showcase our wonderful country, showcase us as a tourist destination, showcase our great golf courses, but have fun doing it, you know. I mean, I'm a great believer in fun, trying to create fun. Ryder Cup captaincy is one, my biggest number one thing addressing the players was about having fun. And if you're having fun doing stuff, and the Irish psyche is about fun, you know, and if you buy into that and create all kinds of activities, not just for the fellas who are up till 2 o'clock in the morning having a few drinks in the street, but also the family atmosphere, you know, face painters and, you know, jugglers and all the kind of stuff within. It was a really family vibe down there, and everything was in good form. And you create the platform, Joe, which is what we did, but it's up to people then to embrace it. And that's the thing that's most humbling, is that they did buy into it, as you say.
What was the flow of the week like for you? Were you running here, there, everywhere? Was it a million miles an hour at all times? Or what were you up to for the vast majority of it?
Yeah, it was a million miles an hour. It was. I had to do a little bit of Sky each day. They wanted me to do a little bit of a guest commentary each day, which I did. And I also had my foundation, like 50 people a day in my shebeen, as I called it. You know, who paid a nice premium that were going to leave a lot of money in the local community and raise funds for that. And then tournament host, you know, meeting Miguel Villador in the evening time, going through the pins for the following day and checking in with Brian, the greenkeeper, on how everything is going, and Paddy Keane, a general manager, and getting feedback every day, you know, and that's what we do in an early morning meeting. All that goes through. We go through all the paces for the day, and off you go into another day and let people get on with it and have fun.
I lost count of the number of people I met who said it was the best Irish Open they've pretty much been to, and I'd find it hard to disagree with them, really. The course, there's such a lovely tradition about the whole thing. You know, even the wall up by the 18th and elbows resting there and watching the golf. There's something lovely about, you know, that whole setup, tradition right the way through the course. The proximity to town, I spoke to a lot of people who said it's just lovely, because golf is a tough spectator sport, you know, not everybody gets the passes and can go inside the ropes or get into the nice tents, but people were saying it was great even just to be able to go for a walk around the town for an hour or two during the day as well. The festival feel we mentioned, the goodwill of the locals, the volunteers, like I'm sure at all these events people are briefed to be nice, but there was a real sincerity about the whole town, I felt. And then you mentioned the club, you know, the likes of Paddy Keane, who I met, and Pádraig Slattery, Eamon Foley, the captain, all of these guys went out of their way to make people feel welcome. I'd say, you know, it's pretty difficult for you to express gratitude, you know, right down to the guy who was in great form at the park and ride area or letting people in, because all of that's so important.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. Everything you've mentioned there, Joe, was one of the reasons why I felt so strongly that Lahinch should be the venue. There was a lot of debate went on before we got Lahinch over the line, and you know, I had to exert quite a bit of pressure in order for people to buy into the idea that Lahinch was the venue. And it's great that it's turned out that way. But the reason why I was so keen to have it was, you know, the quality of people down there, as you mentioned. You know, all those officers of the club, I'll add John Gleeson, the chairman, into that. I mean, I'm in daily contact with these guys now for a year and 3 months. You know, every day we have some kind of communication on something. And, you know, these things don't happen by chance. I had a great team, a wonderful team around me. And you know, we put some really good people in place. And then we worked with the European Tour. I've obviously got experience of working with them and their setups and all that kind of stuff. And I was able to help Lahinch with that and kind of, you know, broach that between the two. And then the Gardaí and the County Council as well. I mean, they were amazing what they did and how they rode in behind it. And, you know, there's a few boxes to be ticked as well, too, from a corporate place, putting on my director of the European Tour hat. You know, we had the chairman of Rolex there playing the Pro-Am, Joe, and he'd never come to a Rolex event before. You know, this guy's writing, you know, a massive check for tens of millions, and for him to come and to see it firsthand was great. And the Gardaí helped me so much with all that. He stayed in the Dermot and blown away with that. So all those things are good for our country. You know, the legacy is left behind. The money is left behind. And also the future as well, too. People are looking at it all over the world and Golf Channel and everywhere and thinking, wow, this looks amazing. And yeah, let's go and visit. And, you know, that's the whole idea of an Irish Open. It's not to pay these rich sportsmen even more money. It's to promote our country. And that's what I felt we achieved more than anything.
Just one other point on Lahinch to touch on. People are aware, I think, that you won the South of Ireland there. You spoke on Wednesday evening for nearly half an hour, actually, about your relationship with Lahinch at a media reception. And you were receiving an honorary membership that evening as well. And everybody knew you'd won the South of Ireland, which got you on the Walker Cup team and really has dictated the course of your life. So it's always going to have a special place in your heart for those reasons. But equally, the Castle Golf Course around the road, where the first time I think you broke 70, your father and his mates were down there as well. There's a lovely story as well about your roommate from US College who you dragged over for the South of Ireland. And people may not be aware that there is a genuine link to Lahinch. It's not just like you flew in and out for the South of Ireland and haven't given the place a second thought since.
Yeah, I do have a lot of links down there. No doubt, great history. It's a place to me. And I caddied for my dad. I mean, I wasn't a particularly good player. I don't think I was old enough or good enough to play in the South till I was about 19 years old. But I have a lot of contacts with other places as well, too. You know, caddying for dad all those early days when he played the championships up in Ross's Point. I have a lot of friends up there, too. I know that I'm familiar with that. Portrush, where I lost in the final twice. A lot of goodwill up there too. And you know, I'm so proud of all our country, not just Lahinch, but there are a lot of connections with Lahinch. And you know, one of the things that's really important is the people in charge of the club. You know, and when I went down to celebrate the 125 year anniversary a couple of years ago, 2.5 years ago, it became crystal clear to me, yeah, these guys are real quality people. And you know, when then Rory called about me taking over as hosting, I started thinking of venues. And you know, moving away from the north was critical. Anything from Dublin north was going to be, you know, conflicted with the same people and the same corporate that was going to be involved in the Open Championship in Portrush. And I thought we needed to open up a new market. So that's why I look south. And when I look south, Lahinch and the people, the officers at the club, were the outstanding one. And that's why I worked hard to try to get them over the line. And glad to say that happened.
What was your roommate's name again that you dragged over from the States to play in the south of Ireland that year?
Yeah, it's a good story. John Adams. He was there again this week, Joe. We brought him over this week from California.
Yeah.
Burly John Adams. What's the great thing about John is he came over, and he's a happy-go-lucky American. He was a great guy. I was the number one player in our team. He was the number two. He's a good player. He came over, never been over to Europe before. Got blown away, but his personality was just infectious. And people really took to him. And one of Dad's friends, who was down on holiday and having a few pints at night, decided to caddy for him, Timmy Downs. And they made a great rapport, and they actually chatted this week. And those kind of things, you know, those friendships. That's what's great about the game of golf. It's the places you go, the people you meet. And, yeah. And we certainly had that with John, and he came over. And he's always had a connection with Lahinch as a result. And he came over again last week, and he was crack. He was great crack.
Yeah, amazing.
But when he did well, he got to the quarterfinal, and one of the Irish newspapers, I think it was Charlie McQueen and the Examiner, called him Burly John Adams, because he does carry a few pounds. And when we went back to college, that was his nickname, and to this day, that's still his nickname.
And Burly John Adams was back at Lahinch, so it kind of came full circle, which was great. On the future for the Irish Open, so genuinely, I was kind of, you know, sitting there, I know I was down with Nathan as well and lots of other people, you're kind of looking around saying, you know, this thing has to come back to Lahinch very, very soon. Are you definitely done from hosting now? Are you one and done?
Yep, one and done, certainly for 5 years anyway.
Okay.
We're on this 5-year rotation where me, Padraig, Darren, Graham and Rory are on a 5-year rotation, and I was the first of that five. What's going to happen after that, I don't know, Joe,
right.
But that's in place.
And does the host effectively, and I appreciate you have to get sign-off from different people and sponsors, but does the host effectively decide on the course?
No. He's got an input, and his powers of persuasion, like mine, had to come into play. With the hierarchy of the European Tour and also Dubai Duty Free. They're the big stakeholders you got to convince. And I had a big chat with Keith Pelly, particularly over in Augusta, not this year, last year, about backing me to come to Lahinch.
Okay.
That's what, if you have a strong view, you've got to tell them why. And I made it very clear. And, you know, thanks to him and also thanks to Colin McLaughlin, who I talked to as well. We got them over the line. They have a say, but they don't have the veto on it. There's a number of factors go into it.
Right, okay. Harrington has been mooted for next year. He's obviously got the Ryder Cup, and you know more than most that that's a big commitment. So I don't know what he's going to do. I think he was a bit reticent about it yesterday and maybe saying it might not be the best year, which leaves, I presume Rory's not going to do it again if you're on a Rota, McDowell or Clark. What direction would you like to see the tournament going? Because at the moment, you know, it looked like there was a pattern there of north and south and north and south, and that's, we've kind of gone away from that a touch now. It's hard to kind of pinpoint where it's going to go. I presume sponsors like the thought of Dublin, but we've seen the success of getting outside of Dublin and different parts of the country. In an ideal world, over the next 2, 3, 4 years, what pattern would you like the Irish Open to fall into in terms of venue?
I think a mixture of everything, Jack, to be honest. I mean, as I say, we got to showcase our country. That's number one more than anything. And particularly our golf courses, and use the golf courses and golf, which were very famous for around the world, as a conduit to bring money into the Irish economy. That's the nuts and bolts of what the Irish Open has and always been about. And that's why the government invests in it, and that's why Tourism Ireland invests in it. And it's investing to get money back. So I wouldn't exclude anything. All of those things that you put on the table, I wouldn't exclude any of them things. And it's hard to really have a rota to say it's definitely going to be this or it's definitely going to be that, because things happen. Like next year, we're pressed with the We're pressed with the Olympics coming into the schedule. We're pressed with the UEFA Cup coming into the schedule. We're pressed with the FedEx again finishing in August next year. So we've got, you know, lots of moving parts going in. We've got the Open Championship in Northern Ireland in a couple of weeks' time, and it's unlikely that, you know, Northern Ireland Tourist Board as well as the Northern Ireland government can, you know, afford to
put more
money in again in a big way. So we got to be, you know, cognizant of that when we make our decision. So everything is on the table. And the other thing to not rule out is inland courses. You know, let's not forget those. You know, we got some great inland courses now. Adair is on the schedule. And remember, JP's Pro-Am is on in Adair next year. Scheduled for the Monday and Tuesday of the Scottish. And we've got K-Club, we've got Mount Juliet. You know, we got Loch Earn. You know, we've got lots of those as well that we shouldn't rule out. And also not rule out going back to Dublin at some stage.
Mm. Personal preference, everybody's going to have different ones. The K-Club's a fine course and a fine place. I grew up, you know, relatively near to it. It's better in a town. It's better away from those inland, you know, the Carton houses are great, the K-Clubs are great. Frankly, like, there's less atmosphere. It's less Irish, you know, it's a bit more, the European machine just plants down on these places, and it's a bit similar to any other tournament. Le Hinch was different. It stood out. Like, should we not be going to the towns?
Yeah, well, that was my view. That was certainly my view because, you know, I speak of this as a Dub myself. You know, we're spoiled in Dublin, Joe. We're all spoiled with the big, massive sporting occasions there. Whether it's a concert, whether it's a GA match, whether it's a rugby match, whether it's a soccer match, all the big matches are held there. And we get spoiled as Dub because you have your pick and choose. So when you go down to a small town like we did last week in the southwest of Ireland, I mean, this is huge. The circus is coming to town. You know, and if we were to go to Ross's Point, it would be the same kind of thing. And I think that's what we've got to prove. And, you know, a lot of debate as well, too, about the field and, oh, he's playing, he's not playing. The atmosphere makes it more than one or two players coming or not going. Yes, you always want the best field you can possible, but the Irish Open should always be bigger than any one player.
Yeah.
It should be, you know what, this is an amazing event. We hopefully sell out crowds, great crack around it. We're going to create a festival. This is what the Irish Open is always going to be about. And you know what? If you don't want to come, fine. If you want to come, that's great. You're welcome. And I think when you make a brilliant event with huge crowds and really embraced by the public, the players will come more, you know, instead. And that's why, you know, appearance money is not the answer.
Yeah.
You know, you got to engage them with the heart. You engage the players with the heart, like John Ram. He comes for the right reasons. He comes because his heart is there and that's what he wants to. He loves it and he knows it, he's going to play well there. Mm. That's the kind of attitude that we need to create in the players' minds in order to get really strong fields and make this Irish Open, you know, one of the real elite events on the sporting calendar.
Mm. Yeah, because there's a parallel experience with these tournaments. There's the TV experience and you definitely miss the big players when you're watching on TV, the Rorys of the world. But frankly, when you're at an event, you might see Rory for 3 minutes. Like, your experience of the event is not dictated by one or two big names. It's about the overall package. And just one last point, because I know obviously you're busy and you got to run. There's talk of the WGC being moved to 2 weeks before the Open next year, because the Olympics are on, so it's all a bit compressed. So where the Irish Open might end up is, it seems, up for grabs. I saw Harrington saying, let's keep it as close to the JP McManus Pro-Am as possible in July. Others have sort of said, well, maybe around Wentworth later on in the year. Any strong preference there?
Yeah, I don't have a strong preference, Joe, but I mean, we had a board meeting last week and, you know, this was debated. All I can say is that relations between Jay Monahan, the head of the PGA Tour, and Keith Pelly, the European Tour, have never been better. They both get on very well. It's not a case of, you know, one elbow in the other one out. I think both tours are under pressure with dates next year. When you put two extra weeks in, like you do, and like I say, in the Olympics and the Ryder Cup, it does put more pressure on. So they are meeting up in Portrush, and I know this is high on our agenda in a few weeks' time, to get some kind of a resolution to this. The PGA Tour schedule is rumoured. It's not definitely going to be. That date is definitely not going to be. It's rumoured to be, you know, nothing is set in stone at this moment in time. So those conversations are ongoing, Joe, and to be quite frank and honest, there is no answer at the moment. They don't know. Keith Petty doesn't know yet. You know, we don't know. We're only guessing what could happen. We don't know yet. But I think once the Open Championship is done and they have their big meetings, I think there will be a little bit of clarity and hopefully a consensus as to what is going to be the date where both tours are, you know, as agreeable as possible.
Okay. That's all good. Well, look, a busy few weeks ahead. Hey, congrats again. It was brilliant. I mean, it looked great on TV. It was certainly great there. I'm sure you're delighted and a bit tired and you have a busy week ahead by the sounds of things. So well done. Good job.
It's a pleasure, Joe. Well, thank you and everybody for coming down and supporting it. And, you know, your voices are very important. If you're having good fun, everybody else is is going to buy into what you're saying about it. So thank you for that. And, you know, it really was something special. I really enjoyed it. And we move on to something else now. Thank you.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.